I just want to remind you this morning that the Word of God is alive and powerful. That's what the Scripture says. And it has the power in it to change our lives if we'll open our hearts and really allow God to speak to us today. We're going to continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I just want to say the life that we've been called to live as a believer cannot be reduced down to some do's and don'ts. It's not just about some rules and, you know, you need to do this, you need to not do that, you need to be this way and not be that way. No, this life is us learning to be more like Jesus. It is following Jesus and becoming more like Him. I think that some Christians have kind of settled for something far less than that, that they're just hoping to make heaven. But I'm telling you, God has something much better for us in this life. Jesus called it an abundant life. But we, as we desire to live for God and to truly become more like Jesus, you know, we can't do that just with rules or just with our own strength. Can't do it on our own. But we're not doing this on our own, because God has given us His Holy Spirit. When we are born again, we are born of the Spirit of God. And every believer has the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And you know what? That makes us a new creation in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. We're not just the same old person. We've been made a new creature. And oh, how every Christian needs to know this. Every believer needs to know this. See, sometimes you may not feel like a new creation. Sometimes you may not even act like one or talk like one. But if you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ. And we need to learn what that means and how to live it out in our life. And so this series on the fruit of the Spirit is so important. The Spirit will produce these things in your life if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're allowing the Spirit to lead and guide our lives. Guide. You know, whenever we're trying to make a big decision, we look to the Lord and we say, Lord, I need your guidance. I need your direction. But the truth is that we need the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us every day, all through the day in our life. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to lead and guide us. And when we do that, we see this fruit manifested in our life. And you know what? Other people see it in our life too. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Now, there's a word that's not used much in our world today. It's something that I think most of us would probably rather not use. In fact, I didn't hear any shouting. I didn't hear any, you know, stirring of excitement when I said long suffering. We'd just rather not even go there, I think. It's a word that means to endure a suffered wrong or to be willing to endure the faults and the weaknesses of others. Now, most of the modern translations use the word patient here, or patience, but we commonly use the word patience just in talking about being willing to wait. And that may be a small part of what this is about, but it's only a small part. It's much more than just being willing to wait. A little boy was standing at an escalator in a department store, just watching the handrail go around. And a man said, son, are you lost? Do you need help? He said, no, I'm just waiting for my gum to come back around. That's not what we're talking about. Not that kind of patience where you're just waiting for something. No, this is something that we need in our life each and every day in dealing with the faults, the flaws, the wrongs of others. I have to tell you that patience, you know, that being willing to wait, that's not my strong suit. I have a really hard time with patience. I don't like to wait. Anybody else, you don't like to wait? Come on, hurry up and get your hands up. Don't make me. Yeah, I don't like to wait at all. I think it's boring. I mean, I'm always thinking about other stuff I could be doing. And so all my life, ever since I was a little kid, I don't have much of that kind of patience. But, you know, it's just part of life. We all deal with stuff like that. And you go to the doctor and they have this place called the waiting room. And you go there and you wait patiently. You know, you're supposed to be patient. They even call you a patient. What's up with that? They got a waiting room and they call you a patient. I don't understand that, but here's what I know. I don't like any of that. I don't like to wait. I don't like that kind of patience, but I want you to know this morning, long-suffering is so much more than that. It is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is something that we need in our life every day. It is that ability to suffer long. Wow, not a popular concept. Not many people would go to a church to hear a teaching on suffering long. Listen, I realize that you didn't know that's what you were coming for this morning, but I want you to hear me. We need it. The truth of God's word sets free. It is exactly what we need. And I think in the time in which we live, oh, how we need this fruit of the Spirit in our life. I will say again, sometimes long-suffering may include some waiting. It certainly does. But it is more. It is enduring a wrong. It is willingly putting up with the faults and weaknesses of others. And we need it every day, because every day we encounter the wrongs, the faults, the flaws of others. In some ways, it would be nice to just skip this one. But here's the thing. You can't just skip the parts of the Bible you don't like. And you can't just skip the fruit that you don't like. We go on vacation sometimes. We used to. I believe we will again someday. And I like to go, you know, to the breakfast buffet where they've got all kinds of fruit. I like fruit for breakfast. And so I'll get me a plate just for some watermelon and some pineapple and some strawberries. Now, they got all kinds of other stuff. You know what? You can have all that. And I like the love, the joy, and the peace. I'll take those three and let's just leave the rest of that alone. But it doesn't work that way. And I want you to understand this morning, if we really get a hold of this, it is a life changing. It is relationship changing. And it will free you up, not just in your relationships, but it'll free you up on the inside when we allow the Holy Spirit to develop this fruit in our life. It is a powerful trait that every one of us needs. Listen, if you're long-suffering, it'll make you so much more like Jesus, because he is. Want to be like Jesus? Oh, we need this. That long-suffering in our relationships, I'm telling you, with our family, our relationships with our neighbors, relationships with our coworkers, relationships with lost people, people that maybe we consider to be an enemy. How we need this long-suffering in our life. It is something that will change how you treat, well, imperfect people. Now, I don't know if you've connected the dots there, but that means everybody except Jesus, right? I mean, everybody we encounter, they have faults and flaws, and they make mistakes, and they may wrong you. You see, this is something that we need every day. In fact, you're going to have the opportunity to be long-suffering before you get home today. Maybe in your drive home in the car, maybe with your loved one, or maybe with another driver. You may have an opportunity to exercise long-suffering in the foyer, but you also may have the opportunity to have long-suffering during this sermon today. Just saying. But all of us need this each and every day, and so we need to learn how this works in our life and what it looks like. I read a story about a kindergarten teacher who was helping a little boy get his boots on so he could go outside for recess. And it's just quite a struggle. She's pushing and pushing, and she finally gets the boots on his feet. And he says, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." But she starts pulling them off, and they were just as hard to get off as they were to get on. And she pulls and pulls and pulls, and she gets them off finally. And then he says, she puts them back on the right feet, of course. And he says, "Well, these aren't my boots." And so she pulls and pulls and pulls to get the boots back off. She finally gets them off. And then he says, "These are my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." So she pushes and pushes. At this point, she's just biting her tongue, you know. She pushes and pushes and gets the boots back on, finally, on the right feet. Everything's ready. And she says, "Now, where are your mittens?" He said, "Oh, I put them in the toes of my boots." Little ones. And you know, it's not so hard for us to be long-suffering with a little one. But we can find it so hard to be long-suffering with a loved one, a coworker, a friend, a brother, sister in Christ. How we need this every day to be long-suffering. It doesn't come naturally. It's supernatural. It is the Holy Spirit in us. When we're wronged, when other people get on our nerves, we got to let the Holy Spirit have His way. You know, in the time that we live, suffering or wrong can be seen as a weakness. The attitude of the day is that you shouldn't take anything off of anybody. I know some of you just then had to resist the temptation to say amen, because it's so much a part of our culture. I'm not taking nothing off nobody. And you know what? Our old nature loves that. Oh, how easy it is for us to have that attitude. In the words of John Wayne in the movie The Shootist, he says, "I won't be wronged, I won't be insulted, I won't be laid a hand on, I don't do these things to other people, and I require the same from them." And I want to tell you, my old nature sure doesn't like me some John Wayne. But John Wayne is not my hero anymore. No, Jesus is my hero, and Jesus is long-suffering. All the time, Jesus is long-suffering. And you look to Jesus and you listen to the things that He teaches, and I would tell you, we got to get rid of those worldly attitudes, and instead, we really want to be like Jesus, you really want to make a difference in this world, then we need to have this long-suffering in our life. You talk about being put upon. You know, in the time that Jesus walked this earth, the Romans occupied the nation of Israel. They were under Roman rule. And those Romans had messed up their way of life, taxed them and disrupted everything, messed everything up. But one of the things that they hated the worst was that by law, the Roman soldiers could pick out a person at random and say, "You carry my pack, you carry my gear for a mile." It was law, they had to do it. Can you imagine what that must have been like? That at any time, one of these Roman soldiers who were occupying your country could say to you, "You, get up, carry my pack." And by law, you had to carry it for a mile. You talk about being put upon. And Jesus says in Matthew 5:41, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. And we just want to buck up and say, "No way." You see, we can comply. We can go along with it. And on the inside, we're seething. On the inside, we're all frustrated. We're all upset. But what if we had this long-suffering in our life where we could willingly and joyfully go to instead? I feel it right now. I know how the flesh pushes back against this. But the Holy Spirit, He's long-suffering. He is able to endure a suffered wrong. That's who lives on the inside of us. And if we will yield to Him, if we'll look to Him and be sensitive to Him, allow Him to guide our steps, I'm telling you that we can have this fruit in our life. And oh, what a difference it makes. You know, when we consider the Lord, one of the things that you see over and over again in the Scripture is that He is long-suffering. And if God is long-suffering, and this is part of the fruit of the Spirit, here's one thing I know. It is not a weakness to be long-suffering. It is, in fact, a strength. In fact, any person, any weak person can get mad and be angry and seek retaliation. And you don't have to be strong to do those things. A weak person can do those things. It takes great inner strength to be long-suffering. A strength, a supernatural strength, in fact, that comes from the Holy Spirit. He is long-suffering. Aren't you glad? He tells us this about Himself in Exodus 34 and 6. It's the Lord speaking. He says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. I am so glad for the long-suffering of God, because I can tell you that I have messed up 1,000 times. I'm not on my second chance or third chance or 100th chance. You know what I'm saying? God is merciful. He is long-suffering to me. I hadn't arrived yet. I still have faults and flaws. Anybody else? Every day I am living in His long-suffering mercy. Every day of my life. I agree with the psalmist, Psalm 86 and 15. He says, "You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." He is not short with me. He doesn't treat me in anger. He knows all my faults and weaknesses. He's seen every one of my mistakes and failures. And yet He puts up with me. He loves me. And He wants us to be that way with others. He's the one, the only one, who's perfect in all His ways. He's the only one who has the right to judge, to condemn. We don't. And yet He's long-suffering. And He wants us to be long-suffering. 1 Peter 3:20 tells us that it was in the long-suffering of God that He waited so long to bring judgment in the days of Noah. The Bible tells us that man had become so corrupt that his thoughts were continually on evil. And so God is going to destroy every living thing. And He tells Noah to build a boat to save his family. And Noah, a preacher of righteousness, he preached righteousness. But it was somewhere between 75 and 100 and 20 years before the flood finally came. Why does it take so long? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:20, it was because of the long suffering of God. God was giving them every opportunity to turn, every opportunity that they would repent and turn to God. You know, in our day and time, we see so many horrible things in our world, so many atrocities, so much evil. And sometimes people wonder, why the Lord doesn't do something about it. Why don't we see judgment? Why don't we see the wrath of God poured out? Why is he waiting? Long-suffering. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting for people to repent. He's waiting for people to turn. All my life I've heard Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And there's going to come a day of judgment and wrath in this world. But he's waiting. He's long-suffering. He's giving every opportunity for people to turn to him. That is the God that we serve. I remind you that Lamentations says that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We all are living in the mercy of God because he is long-suffering. How can we, who are the recipients of his grace and mercy, how can we judge others? How can we have a judgmental attitude toward others? No, we need to be long-suffering. Jesus tells us how you can have mercy in your life. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:7. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Everybody wants God's mercy. But here's the thing. He expects us to be merciful. And when we're merciful to others, he shows us mercy. Jesus says in Matthew 5:7, judge not. Don't judge. Because if you judge, the same measure that you judge, it's going to be measured back. These are the words of Jesus. How do we ever get to the place where we think we have a right to stand in judgment of somebody else or to be critical of somebody else? I'm telling you, we need this long-suffering in our life every single day. This long-suffering will empower you to walk in forgiveness. To walk in forgiveness. See, when something really bad happens in our life, we all know that Jesus says we have to forgive. If you don't forgive men, their sins against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. We have to forgive. But I think a lot of the time, we might forgive the big things, but the little daily things that frustrate us and irritate us, a lot of the time we allow those things to just build up until we can just become a frustrated, angry person. We need to learn to walk in forgiveness. That whatever happens, we don't let that settle on us. It just runs off like water off a duck's back. We're not allowing that to stay on us because we have this gift, this fruit of long-suffering. We're quick to forgive. We don't take that offense. It enables us to release the wrongs done to us. But as long as you're around people, you're going to have the opportunity to be long-suffering. And if we don't have this fruit in our life, we'll end up being short with people, unforgiving, angry, frustrated, unhappy. We need this part of the fruit. It's not just gritting your teeth and saying, okay, I'm going to do it. No, it's something that happens from the inside. I'm telling you, we need this in our life, that we get free from all of that. I know it can be difficult. People can be so... We all have things that irritate us, things that upset us, things that just get our goat. If something's getting your goat, you need some long-suffering. I'm just saying, but people can be so dumb, so fickle, in and out, up and down, so lacking in commitment. Sounds like a preacher talking, right? Here's the thing. We need to be long-suffering with people because whatever faults and flaws they have, guess what? You've got some too. I've got some too. We all need this long-suffering in dealing with other people. Can't just react to people in our old nature. Instead, we got to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. I certainly have learned more long-suffering over the years as the Lord has been long-suffering with me again and again and again. But that old nature always wants to rise up. And the book of Galatians, before it gives us the fruit of the Spirit, it lists out some of the acts of the sinful nature, that old nature. And here's some of them it lists: hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. And all of those go away when we have this part of the fruit of the Spirit of long-suffering. Psychology says that, well, we're like a bucket. And when things happen in life that make you angry, your bucket starts filling up with anger. And that you need to have an emotional vent. So once in a while, you just gotta pour some of it out. Just let it out. Go ahead and get that anger out. Here's the problem. You can't ever overcome that old nature by feeding it. And you might relieve the anger just a little bit because you went off on somebody, but it won't be long until your bucket's going to be full of anger again. I want to tell you the truth. As a new creation, as a child of God, somebody who's been born of the Spirit, you're not an old bucket. You are a vessel that God puts His Holy Spirit in. The Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not like, you know, second class God. No, He's God, the Holy Spirit inside of the believer. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to be full of anger like some bucket until you overflow. No, that's a lie from the devil. You're full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit produces this: long-suffering. So you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be frustrated and mad and bent out of shape and this having that person, they get on my nerves. You don't have to be that person. You can be long-suffering like your Lord. In Colossians 3, 12 and 13, the Bible says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. It's talking about you. Holy and beloved. Everybody realize this is talking about you. Anybody going to take that? Holy and beloved. That's you. He says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. And that so much speaks of long-suffering, being willing to forbear, to endure the wrongs, the faults of others, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You got a complaint against somebody? And here's the attitude of the world. Well, you got to go tell them about it. Where do you file your complaint? And I tell you, I see this even in the body of Christ a lot of the time where people get that attitude. They just want to complain about something. You got to complain about somebody? Here's what the Bible says to do. Forgive that person. Just as God forgave you. Forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. We need this long suffering. You see, we want to reach our world. We want to see lives changed. But a lot of the world doesn't want our Jesus. And it's not because our Jesus is not perfect. It's because we're not representing Him the way we should be. Because there's way too many angry, judgmental, critical Christians today. Y'all don't get quiet on me now. I'll start really preaching. No, they're not seeing what they need to be seeing. They need to see that our God is loving and kind and merciful and long-suffering. How are they going to see that if they don't see it in us? We got to be that person that's willing to overlook, to put up with, to be merciful, to be kind, even when they don't deserve it, even when they're wrong. The worst thing we can do if we want to help somebody is to get in a big argument and get mad. That doesn't help anybody. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and instead of just reacting to people and reacting to wrongs, instead, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to give us the words and help us to know what we should say and what we should do. But all of us have opportunities to be long-suffering every day, especially with your loved ones and your friends, the people that you're around a lot. As you know, it can be easier to be long-suffering with a stranger than with your own family, because you don't really have to be long-suffering just for a minute. You know, you just got to put up with. Aren't you glad? You see, sometimes you don't have to put up with somebody very long. You're like, I hope I never see you again. But you go home, and guess what? Those people in your home, they've got their own set of faults and flaws, and you're going to live with them every day. Amen. And you try and try and try, but guess what? You're not going to be the one that changes them. But we get so frustrated sometimes with our loved ones, with their faults and flaws. And I have it easy. I know that. I don't have to deal with much with Carmen. I will tell you one fault that she has. She hides my stuff. And I tell her, I say, what did you do with it? How do you know that I did something with it? And I say, because we both know if I had it, it would be right here in the middle of the floor. So you put it somewhere. But seriously, it's amazing how we can end up being short, irritated, even angry with our loved ones. And oftentimes we end up treating strangers better than we do our loved ones. In fact, if your kids are getting on your nerves and you started yelling at your kids, if some stranger was doing that to your kids, you'd be all over them. But it's okay for you. Oh, and you're thinking, yeah, that's okay. No, you need to be long-suffering with your kids. I'm not telling you to let them get away with stuff. I'm talking about the spirit. I'm talking about the attitude. I'm talking about how you do things with your kids. Let me give you another example. Some husbands, they get all angry, irritated with a wife, and they start yelling at the wife. And if another man talked to your wife that way, you would punch him in the face. So you expect a stranger to treat your wife better than you do. You know where that's going. You got all kinds of marital trouble. No, we should treat our family, those that we're closest to, we should always treat them with long-suffering. They have faults and flaws. We all do. I want to put one little clarification in here. I'm not talking about you enduring some kind of physical abuse. That's not what I'm talking about. We'll leave that for another message. But I'm not telling anybody to suffer and put up with some kind of physical abuse. But when it comes to the faults and flaws that we daily have in our life and mistakes that we make, how we need long-suffering. It is a key to having a great relationship with your kids. It's a key to having a great relationship with your spouse. So often, marriages could be saved if it was just a little bit of long-suffering. Instead of being critical and always talking about their faults and flaws and what that she did and he did, blah. Long-suffering. Same thing when it comes to church. I'm telling you, if we had more long-suffering in the body of Christ, the relationships would be so much stronger. Instead, we find fault, we get upset, we get angry, we're done. No, we need to learn to be like our Father. He's long-suffering. You know, one of the things that make long-suffering so hard is our sense of justice. It just violates our sense of justice. If somebody's doing wrong, we can't let them get away with it. Matthew 5, 38 and 39, Jesus says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I tell you, a lot of people like that. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. Do we believe that? I mean, can we just do away with some of the teachings of Jesus, or do we actually believe that these things are real and true and right and for us? That's tough. But we are partakers of His divine nature. And the Holy Spirit, God in us, He produces this fruit of long-suffering. I want to remind you that the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and yet He is long-suffering. But you can trust this, that God will eventually make everything right. And so we need to quit playing God and standing in judgment of other people, and instead be like Him in this regard, that we are long-suffering. You know, sometimes we talk about the Lord, you know, is the one who takes vengeance. It's not our place. I just want to say, Lord, why should you have all the fun? I want to help. I want to be a vessel that you work through, Lord. Yeah, see that we like the sound of that. But I tell you, God has reserved that for Himself. He says, vengeance is mine. You don't take something that God says is His. When you start wanting to repay, when you start wanting to settle the accounts yourself, I'm just telling you, you are heading yourself for all kinds of trouble. Well, they did this to me. You reap what you sow. Whether they deserved it or not, you reap what you sow. I know this is maybe one of the most difficult areas of the fruit of the Spirit. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. This is not something that you can really live in your life just by human effort. It takes the Holy Spirit. Paul prayed for the Colossians in Colossians 1, 10 and 11. He prayed this for them. He says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I just want to tell you, these things are things that you grow in. You learn and you understand, and you should be developing in your life and growing in. Verse 11, though, here was part of his prayer for them. He said, strengthened with all might. Oh, we need God's strength. It's His power. According to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. It is God's power. He's the one that enables us to be long-suffering with others. His glorious power, he said. But I love the way he ends it there with joy. Because I want to tell you that when you really have this in your life of being long-suffering with others, you're going to find a lot more joy. You're going to get free from some things that have been blocking, stopping your joy. And I'm going to end with this. Listen, this is a better life. Jesus came to give us abundant life, and this is a better life, to have this long suffering where we're not getting eaten up on the inside. We're not all mad. We're not all frustrated. We're not all bent out of shape because of this and this person. No, we're free from that. I want to share two verses with you from Psalm 37, verse 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Well, there's that waiting, and there's being patient. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. This is the word of the Lord. Cease from anger. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I tell you, the Lord wants us to be free from that. We need this part of the fruit in our life. Something we learn, something we grow in every day as we yield to the Holy Spirit and we allow Him. When you're dealing with a difficult person, dealing with some issue, some wrong, the Holy Spirit is able to give you the right words. He's able to give you not just the right words or the right actions, but the right heart and the right attitude. And so I hope that you get a hold of this morning. Well, don't push it aside and say, I don't want that one. Yes, you do. It'll make your life better. Stand with me. We're going to pray.